today on Real Radio.
Jesus is always being cursed and is always being believed in or is always being rejected. It's all about Jesus. Look, at the end, he comes back. He sets up his throne in Zion and Jerusalem. And listen, it ends gloriously, not for the earth dwellers, but for you. The end of the world is the beginning for us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 2, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of the coming judgment if they didn't turn from their sin. But God also gave Isaiah visions far into the future, like the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what's going to happen in the last days when Christ returns. Now, continuing in Isaiah chapter 24 with part 2 of this message, Isaiah is given a series of visions that go beyond Israel and Judah's judgment and into the coming of the last days. Chapter 24 is like reading from the book of Revelation, when all things visible are moving towards an end. There's a time coming to the world called the Great Tribulation Period. People left on earth will suffer greatly at the hands of the Antichrist because they refused to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation when they had the chance. So today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that in the last days, there will be 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will sweep the globe with the gospel. No one could number how many were saved, but the great leaders of the earth were gathered together as prisoners and punished for their sins. And now continuing his lesson called When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You're not going to fall asleep one day in the doctor's office and then wake up and, oh, what happened to me? I'm serving Satan now. You have to willfully accept the mark. And it just may be that it may be that chips will be distributed to every citizen on the planet in the next 10 years because of crime or borders or whatever. That has nothing to do with the Antichrist. Don't be fooled. Don't be a panicky kind of Christian. Because, by the way, we think it's a chip. We don't even know what it is. It could be a tattoo. We don't know what it is. It could be something invisible that only a computer can read. We don't know what it is. But this we know. Those who accept it have to show allegiance to the Antichrist, and those who reject it will be killed for rejecting it. You have to willfully decide. You understand that? So just calm down. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. I saw thrones, that is, in heaven, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded. Why? Why? Why were they beheaded? John looks into the future, and he says, oh my goodness, I saw a whole bunch of people that had been beheaded. Why? For their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his what? Mark on their foreheads or on their hands. Listen, who's this? That's group number two. Group number one are the earth dwellers. Group number two, listen, are the tribulation age believers. Tribulation age. They're not here yet. You guys are the church age believers. You're the bride of Christ. During the tribulation period, there's going to be a massive group of people in the earth saved at the ministry or by the ministry of the 144,000. There's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists, the Bible says, and they're going to preach the gospel to the world, and there's a multitude that's saved by their preaching. The Bible says it's so great, nobody can number them. And they will have to die for being a believer. They're not a church-aged believer. They're not part of the bride of Christ. They're not part of group one or the group you're in. And they're not part of group one, the earth dwellers. Group two would be those who love God during the tribulation period. They've come to faith in Christ, but they'll have to die for their faith. You are called to live for your faith, to live for your God at this time. Very interesting. Group number three is, in fact, the 144,000. Because of time, write down or make a note, that you need to read Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, it will tell you who these guys are, and I mean guys. They're all men. They're Hebrews. They've never been with a woman. They're virgins. So I hate to burst your bubble, but if you're in a cult and you're one of the 144,000, well, guess what? You're not. Because the Bible tells you what tribe they come from, and the Bible tells you regarding their devotion to God. They're yet in the future. The third argument we saw, we just got into this last time, was the great tribulation and the need, verses 7 to 13. And it's just simply this. I'll just point out verse 13. When it shall be thus in the midst of the land among the people, it shall be like the shaking of an olive tree, like the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. Just simply this. It will be global tribulation. Number four is where we've not yet been. Number four, verses 14 through 18, when the end is just the beginning, the great tribulation and the world. Verse 14, they, that is the remnant of the people, the beheaded, those who believe, the remnant, shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Verse 15, therefore, the Lord in the dawning light, the name of the Lord God of Israel. Isn't that interesting? You ought to circle that. Israel in the coastlands of the sea. From the ends of the earth, we have heard songs. Glory to the righteous. This is an awesome announcement of hope. Isaiah sees what's coming. This is where he says, but I, that is Isaiah, said, I am ruined. Ruined. Woe to me, the treacherous dealers. He's mourning over the condition of his nation. I have dealt treacherously. Indeed, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Verse 17, fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitants of the earth. The great tribulation. It shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he who comes from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare, for the windows from on high are opened, and the foundations of the earth are shaken. This is exactly what's mentioned in Revelation chapter 17, Isaiah 24, Isaiah 17, almost verbatim. And then finally here, you guys, in verses 19 to 23, the great tribulation and the beginning. See, what do you mean? Well, watch how this ends. Verse 19 says, the earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard or a drunk. The word is in the Greek, Hebrew, to wobble. It's amazing because the word in the Hebrew describes a top. Remember the old days? Does anybody play with tops anymore? Remember when we were little? We had tops because we didn't have a Xbox. We had tops. And you would pull that string on the top. Do you remember? It was like amazing. Sometimes it'd be going, spinning so fast, it didn't look like it was moving. And then as time went on and it lost energy, remember what it began to do? Do you remember it would wobble and then sometimes it'd stand back up? And then it'd start to wobble again and stand back up? And what, did you know every time it would wobble worse and then stand back up? And then remember when it wobbled to the point and then would, it actually, how did it do that? It would just flip and go shooting across the room. That's exactly the word Isaiah was given by God to describe what's going to happen to the earth. By the way, there are physicists and geologists that suggest that the earth shows evidence of this having happened in the past. That's weird. And they're not even believers. Emmanuel Velikovsky, not a believer, he argues that. He argued it. There are astronomical charts, by the way. Charts of the heavens. Did you know that it's not all that far back in ancient time, did you know that there are astronomical charts that are extremely detailed that lay out exactly where the planets are at, but there's no Venus in the charts? Did you know that? Many of them argue that Venus came in to our system and changed the way the Earth. Some connect Venus with the Earth being at 23.5 degrees tilt, that it somehow had an effect. Some say that the shift from straight up to 23 and a half. Right now, you and I are at 23 and a half degrees. The earth is tilted off its axis, or off of dead center to its current day axis. Why is it at 23 and a half? Did you know that, by the way? This is going to probably, I don't mean to upset some of you, but did you know as long as the earth is tilted right now at 23 and a half, you cannot have true climate change. Did you know that? This is purely scientific. I'm not here to upset you. If you're a climate change person, calm down for a second. I'm just talking science now. At 23.5 degrees, the four seasons will not change in their hemispheres. Okay, right now it's spring now up here, but it's fall down in the southern hemisphere. Okay, you with me? That's not going to change. That's going to continue. You can't change the climate unless you change the axis. I'm sorry. Look, it's just a scientific fact. Are you denying climate change? Yeah, I am. Yeah, because you can only change the climate if you move the axis. Here's the deal. Unfortunately, people are getting all excited and distracted by things. There's something called micro and macro. There's micro meteorology or micro environmentalism, meaning, by the way, I live in Chino Hills, and I don't care how hot it is on any given day. It can be 100 degrees on some day in the summer, and at night, you'll have to put a sweater on. And yet, if you live in Anaheim, or if you live in Cucamonga, it'll be hot at night. Why? Because I live in a micro environment. If you live in Palm Desert, it can be really hot in the daytime and really hot at night. That's a micro environment. In those environments, there's change that takes place. Seasons, droughts and rainy seasons and El Nino and La Nina and all these different things that happen. Then there's macro, larger change regions. So just be careful about that. God says, you want to talk about change? The earth in the last days is going to start to wobble. And when it moves, you won't have to debate if things are changing. You better get your camera because it'll happen quick. The tribulation, all that stuff that the world is going to be going through, you will not see it. Luke 21:36 guarantees it. Luke 21:36 guarantees it. But listen, I love this because we're talking about the future, and yet there's evidence in the geological record, earth science, that reveals the fact that the earth has had cataclysmic events, such as the Grand Canyon, for example. Some suspect that it was made much faster than earlier thought. Fossil records, which are interesting. You can't have a fossil, you can't have a fossil if it decays. Did you know that? The reason why you have a fossil is because it did not decay. A fossil can only exist if it was quickly, under great pressure, fast, stamped into the sediment and preserved and kept quickly. The Great Tribulation talks about the earth going through tremendous things. Verse 20, its transgressions shall be heavy upon it. Look at this. The earth is being judged for its sins. It will fall and not rise again. Wow. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of the exalted ones. The demon spirit realm will be punished. Continuing on, verse 21, on the earth, the kings of the earth, they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and will be shut up in the prison. After many days, they will be punished. This is amazing. It's like you're reading the book of Revelation, but it's Isaiah. Verse 23, then the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed. Then you want to ask why. Whenever you see the word for, ask why. For the Lord of hosts, that is the heavens, the Lord of heaven's armies. Wow, you guys, I don't have the time to tell you. Write it down in your notes. In Acts chapter 2, verses 17 to 20, Peter quotes that the last days are upon the earth now. He said it 2,000 years ago. He talked about God moving. And at the end of God moving, since the birth of the church, one of the signs would be at the end of the great tribulation period, the sun will be darkened. The sun will not shine its light, and the moon will look as though it's blood. That's repeated and quoted out of Joel chapter 2, verse 25. And again in Revelation 6, 12, where it says, I, John, he looked when Jesus, opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. Wow. You guys, did you hear us teach much or even mention much at all the four blood moons? You didn't, did you? Remember, when you're biblical, you'll always be right. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about moons. Moons. The four blood moons. Well, where's that? Where's that in the Bible? No, we've got it. It's in Joel chapter 2. It's in the book of Revelation. No, it's not. Number one, we ain't in the tribulation period yet. Number two, it's one moon. And the day that the moon looks like blood is the same day the sun don't shine. And don't you think if those blood moons meant anything that Israel would have been able to see from Israel? Israel is the center point of the universe. Don't you think the Jews in Israel would have been able to see four blood moons? They didn't see any blood moons. It didn't happen in their hemisphere. But it sold a lot of books. Look what will happen in that day. God says, this is awesome. For the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount what? Zion. Where's that? It's at the southern end of Jerusalem, at the Temple Mount. It's not Canada. It's not Salt Lake City. It's not Wilshire and Sepulveda. The Bible says 3,000 years ago, when the Lord comes back and all this stuff's happening, when he comes back, he's coming to Zion. That's why the Temple Mount is being disputed today in the news. And in Jerusalem. Look at your Bible. Wow, that's why Jerusalem is such a hot topic. Why? Satan knows it. He can read the Bible. And look, before his elders, look at how it ends. Gloriously. This is why Jesus is always being cursed and is always being believed in or is always being rejected. It's all about Jesus. Look, at the end, he comes back. He sets up his throne in Zion and Jerusalem. And listen, it ends gloriously, not for the earth dwellers, but for you. The end of the world is the beginning for us. There's no need to fear nothing. Every day the calendar is peeled off. It's one more day closer to this glorious, awesome forever with God. Lord, we thank you so much that Isaiah in one chapter covers a period of time that ends in glory for all those who put their trust in you. Wow. I have no doubt that if there are those here tonight or those watching right now that are thinking, oh man, this is horrific, this is terrible, this is scary, this is the worst. Well, friend, if that's you tonight, stop being an earth dweller right now. Just stop it. Stop being one of those of the world. You need to change teams. You need to forsake the fact that you are the Lord of your life. You're calling the shots. You're Antichrist. You're the one that makes all the decisions about you. You do what you want to do. You're going to do your thing. And now tonight you're bothered because you see how you at the wheel is going to lead to destruction. But tonight we're inviting you while there's yet time. Don't be like those fools who will bite their tongue, shake their fist, and even recognize that God's in heaven and this is the wrath of the Lamb, but they won't repent. Tonight, own up to your sin and tell God that you need him, that you trust Jesus, having died on the cross for your sins. Tell him now, Lord, forgive me, God, I've been wrong. I've not been a true believer. I yield my life to you, God. I surrender to the cross of Christ. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life, Almighty God. Wash my sins away and make me new. Make that your prayer tonight. He's hearing you. Pray that prayer. If it's coming from your heart this night, commit your ways to God. Church, we need to start living and acting in boldness tonight. You should be tremendously encouraged. These things you will escape when the Lord comes. It doesn't mean we won't be persecuted. It doesn't mean that tomorrow could be a bad day. It doesn't mean that our faith will be brought under scrutiny and maybe we'll be called to denounce Christ like those in the world are being challenged. Some may have to die. I understand that. I may have to die for my faith in Jesus. I get that. But listen, I will never see the wrath of God. And Isaiah 24 is speaking about the wrath of God coming upon the earth. And you won't see that, Christian. You'll never see the backhand of God. You'll never see him frown. You will never see him put his hands on his hips and scowl. Oh no. His eyes are upon you, Christian. He loves you. You have his favor. The Holy Spirit is in you. You are called the bride of Christ. He doesn't mutilate or abuse his bride. He doesn't slap her around and then take her to heaven. He gave his life for you. Church, we need to be bold for him. We need to be so in love with him, we can't stop talking about him. We need to be so in love with him, we tell people about him like never before. In fact, let's stand right now. Let's sing our praise to him because he alone is worthy. Amen, church. Let's bless him in our praise as we close tonight. In Jesus'
name. Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today, and don't be afraid of what's to come. We as believers will not be a part of the tribulation. The end of the earth for us is only the beginning. When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, if you're interested in starting a devotional time with the Lord, Pastor Jack has written some great devotional material to both encourage you and challenge you along the way. Just go to our website, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Devotions tab. Once you're there, you'll find Devotions with Jack Hibbs. There's a new verse each week along with a personal story from Pastor Jack to go along with it. He's also provided previous devotions that you can click on for daily reading. And don't forget to sign up for our devotional newsletter when you give us your email address. It's all right there when you click on the Devotions tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and be inspired. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.